Well, yesterday morning, Sunday morning, I shared with you about demonstrating our Christian passion and for the believers to show and tell. We have so much to show and tell people in this world. And boy, oh boy, we live in a broken world, don't we? And God has equipped us with his gift of Holy Spirit, with those nine manifestations. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What a privilege we have to do his work at this time. And I know that we all have been called. God has called us to function and to work within the ministry, within the body of Christ. So we should be excited and passionate, really passionate about who we are in Christ, and then share it and show it to others. You know, the one job God has not given us is to be secret agents. There's no secret that we need to hold on to. We need to tell the world about Christ and how they can get born again of God's Spirit and they can walk with God as their Father. So tonight, I've asked Dan and Rebecca Mikas to share about their passion, how God has worked in their lives, and what they do to serve in the body of Christ. They sure have been faithful for many, many years. I'm thinking over 35 years. They've been great givers and great servers. So I'm going to take them off of mute here, and they're going to share with you a little bit of what they're doing to serve in the body of Christ.
Well, yes, thank you for the opportunity tonight. I'm excited because I know what we're going to be saying. So let's see if I can get you excited with what we do say. I'm going to start off tonight with a little quote with a lot of power. The quote is this: time is free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Listen again. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Well, that tells me the importance of time as we go tick-tock, tick-tock, not like a video thing, but like the clock. And there's two verses that jump into my heart and my head, and think of them like verbal bookends, if you will. And the first one is Christ, his very first recorded words ever in Luke 2:49. And basically it says this: did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And then the other end of the bookend with a verbal here is his last prayer to his Heavenly Father, John 17:4. And he says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Those are like verbal bookends, if you will, referring to Christ's first words and his last prayer. And then the bookshelf, if you will, John 19:30, it is finished. What? What was finished? My work. But God gave him work to do. It said, you gave me to do. And if we're to be like Christ, that means God's given us work to do. You know, when I was growing up, there was a movie or a program on a daily basis. Maybe it's still there. I don't know. It's called Days of Our Lives. And they would have an hourglass. I never watched it, but I could see this hourglass, and I could see the sand going down the hourglass. And even if I look at Dorothy, like the Wizard of Oz, the first time I ever saw that, and there was Dorothy, and the Wicked Witch turned the hourglass upside down. And it was just inching its way down, down. And it couldn't go back up. You couldn't throw it up. It was going down. And then I said to myself, time. And I said, look at me. When I was 20, well, 30 was old. And then I became 30, and then 40 was old. and jump it ahead, now I'm 70-something and 80 looks old. But something else, there's only so many rungs on the ladder. I mean, when I was younger, I could see a whole bunch of rungs. Now, I mean, no matter how healthy I be, I mean, come on, the rungs aren't going to go beyond maybe 90, 100, maybe 110 if that were the case. But there's not a lot of rungs left on the ladder. So what am I doing with the rungs on my ladder that I have? Well, I look at this time of COVID and the fear and the confusion, and people are hurting, depression, suicides, economic crises, withdrawal, longing for physical touch, people, and even the touch of words. Remember the centurion? He said, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. So there's a lot happening with COVID, and then I think, yes, we have been planted in COVID. We weren't planted in World War II. We weren't planted in the Revolutionary War. We have been planted in COVID because COVID is here. So it's, what do we do about it? And no matter what happens, no matter what's there, no matter what's even with our country, presidents, Senate, courts, think of the old hymn, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, be it our government, our country, our president, this one, the other one, it's all of that ground is sinking sand. So as long as I keep my focus on Christ, the solid rock, I'll stand. You know, Rebecca, my wife, says, you know what, bloom where you're planted. Yes, bloom where you're planted. And if you look at it, like, for example, Rebecca would come across like soft sunshine in terms of her bloom. Me, I probably would come across as something like maybe a crazy sparkler. Bob Linfield, think of him like a rudder on an ocean ship, steady and sure. Jeannie, like a tray of chocolate chip cookies, fresh out of the oven. Even the corners are used to make square, right-angle cookies. Practical and sweet. Barney, like a soothing Vicks cough drop for a sore throat. Vicky, for a need-fulfilling mashed potatoes and peas with a delicious topping of gravy dripping down the side. And Jan, oh, come on, Jan, confident as she takes us exploring in a God cave with her special God light. See, we all shine in terms of who we are, and God's given us that. Each one of us shines differently. If we were flowers, a rose, a tulip, a lilac, we all shine. And we've noticed, Rebecca and myself, that so many times lately, especially with COVID, there's been so many phone calls of people that we've dealt with in businesses and situations. One call, Rebecca said something sweet to the lady, and the lady just said, you know, ma'am, I wish the other callers could just be as nice as you are. And she said that like with a tearful laugh. And she was so thankful that Rebecca took time to recognize her. A man that we dealt with, he was a very professional gentleman. And after listening to us for 45 minutes, he said, I'm speechless. He said, I don't know how I'm supposed to help you. And I said to him, for us, you already have helped us. Well, all these different things with phone calls, and you think, wow. Remember Bob shared about the airplane where he thanked God for somebody to be there? And then he was on the airplane, and all that happened, and now he's in the guy's garage, and there's a Bible fellowship, all because Bob shone his light, and it blossomed with that man on the airplane. Let me give you one example of something that happened recently on the phone. Just one. There's this picture, if you will. I'll paint the picture. Bob, he's a Jewish professor type gentleman. He's tall, he's lanky, but he's awkward, and he's gregarious, and he's loud, and people steer away from him. I've only known him through the gym. That's all I've ever known about him is in the gym, and I made it a point to talk with this guy. Well, a couple of weeks ago, he called me out of the blue. Haven't seen him for about half a year. And he said, hey, Dan, he said, look, he said, I'm moving to Florida, and I need somebody that I can trust who will guard my car until the transport can pick it up. He said, would you do that for me? And again, he's very loud. And I said, you know, Bob, I would be blessed to do that for you. Well, the day came where he brought the car over, and he was able to put stuff in the car, 1,200 pounds worth of stuff. All of his life was in that car. And when he drove up in that car, every nook and cranny of that car was loaded with papers, computers, bank statements, everything. My job was to keep that car safe until the transport came. And there were several problems, several difficulties, back and forth. He went to Florida, but his car was still here. And the date for the pickup came, and something happened. Then another date came. And each night, every time I hear a sound, I'm going out to check his car, because all that stuff is just sticking up like a sore thumb. And that was his life, all there. So one day, the transport came, took the car. And in the meantime, I had been dealing with the transport company. Now, Bob, when he did get his car, sent me a beautiful thank you note. And he said, Dan, he said, I'm Jewish. He said, I know you're a Christian. He said, I knew you'd be the only person that I knew that I could trust to take care of my car. And his car got there. Well, and that's a beautiful story, but that's only part of it. The man who ran, and I thought God was answering a prayer by me working with Bob and having him say, I'm so thankful that you were there. And I was happy. But the guy who, the dispatcher, I'd been on and off the phone with him so many times, and after everything was true, I called him, and I said, I don't know if you remember me from a couple of days ago. He said, remember you? How could I forget you? And he spoke in broken English, and I talked with him, and I had just mentioned something about him being able to take a break. And at one point, he got quiet, and he said, you know, sir, I want you to know that I'm the owner of this company, and with everything that's been happening, I've lost over 70% of my business in terms of what's been happening with COVID. But and I said something about, you know what, God can bless us and God can stretch 30 to be what it was. And all of a sudden, the guy got quiet. And he said, sir, and I could hear that. He said, I want you to know, I came from a communist country. We weren't allowed to believe in anything other than what we were told. He said, I escaped, and I escaped with my wife. And we had tried to get pregnant in the country, the communist country that we came from, but we couldn't. But we finally got here, and we had a child, a girl. And he said, I'm so thankful. And I mentioned a couple little things to him. And then a plan developed in my mind. And I said, you know, Alfred, his name, I said, I want to do something for you. I'm going to make a gift, if it's okay with you, for your daughter. And I'm making that gift even before I was on tonight. I'm making a special gift. And he gave me the daughter's name. He gave me their address. He gave me the information. And I'm writing a letter to the daughter that's going to be including God. And I'm making a beautiful wooden gift for the daughter and the family. And somehow, remember Bob when he was on the plane and now he's in the garage of the man for the Bible study? Well, I'm still on the plane with Alfred, but basically he's invited me into the living room of his hid heart. I say hid because for him, he really doesn't know God. He was never allowed to even surface it. But here's the punchline. At the very end of the conversation, where he's sighing and looking, and he turned to me over the phone and said, you know, sir, he said, this call and this whole thing is no accident, is it? And I said, little do you know, wait until you see what's coming. And again, so that's what's happening in terms of just a little bit of what we do, and all of us can shine in different ways just by showing a caring touch, a caring word, just giving that forth. And speaking of giving it forth, I'm going to read that quote one last time and then give the phone to Rebecca. Time is free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. But God's there with a plan for each of our lives. Christ said, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I've got to use the rungs of the ladder that I have to do the work that God has given me to do, and each and every one of us. He wants all men, mankind, to be saved. On that note, thank you, and here's Miss Rebecca with her sunshiny, warm heart. Here you go.
Thank you, Bob, Jeannie, Barney, Vicki, and Jan, for the privilege of sharing this evening. I'm going to preface what I'm going to share by the words, be still and act. In one of our home's bathrooms, we have a placard that reads, our life is a gift from God. What we do with that life is our gift to Him. William Jones, United States Marine Corps, advertised for a few good men to enlist in the Corps for naval duty. The term seemed ideally suited for Marines, mainly because of the implication that a few good men would be enough. Our Heavenly Father, however, sees all believers through Christ-colored glasses and calls each of us to be in His army, no matter our age or stage of life. My question at different ages was, what does God want me to do? I did not have a clear idea as a teenager or even in my early 20s. Since I understood 3 John 3:4, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Did the answer appear clear? Whatever we do or wherever we are with Christ, no task is too small or great. One of the verses which I think about is Psalm 46, and this is the Near International Version. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Being still and not jumping in is a challenge for me. My husband and daughter will verify that. Yesterday, Bob made a comment that resonated with me. God works harder to communicate to us than we do to listen to Him. That was certainly the case with Moses and for many of us. Moses was 80 years old and a shepherd when God called him from the burning bush. Moses was very reluctant to obey. However, Moses did eventually listen, obey, and lead the Israelites out of Egypt and in the desert for 40 years. Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Our Heavenly Father never fails those who answer His call. God loves each of us and calls us to minister to others. No matter how old we are or how reluctant, afraid, or insecure we are to do so. I've been very privileged. In May, it's going to be, I believe, 39 years that Dan and I have been married. And I've had the privilege of learning from Dan as he has walked, because Dan is always ready, willing, and able to share God's words. If a person is moving, if a person is standing still, Dan talks with them, he shares God's word. We all have our personalities. I'm not as outgoing as Dan. So I think about things, and honestly, sometimes I'm a little bit insecure about things. I kind of seek more structured opportunities to do so in terms of, but I've learned through Dan, and I know that because of his example that I have become bolder. Thanks to Bert, a wonderful San Diego believer who extended an invitation to us in the winter of 2019, we became aware of a local Christian pregnancy center. I sensed God nudging me to volunteer. I started volunteering consistently one day a week since June 2020. I have folded clothes, answered phones, thrown out trash, and now I'm leading a mother of preschoolers group in Spanish. I took a step, and it's been a great blessing, and I've met wonderful people, you know, one of whom loves to reach out to hundreds of people, and me who prefers working with people either one-to-one or in a small group. We all have our personalities. In our communities, there are children who need to be tutored. There's an organization called San Diego Oasis who kind of coordinates that learning opportunity, tutoring opportunity for adults 55 and over. There are individuals who need phone calls of encouragement, food banks that need volunteers, prisoners that would love to receive letters. There are so many needs. And when we are listening, God's still small voice guides us to what we can do and where we can serve. We don't need to do everything and get burned out. We need to listen to God and ask for His guidance and what, just as Isaiah said, you know, here am I, send me. In closing, I'd like to finish with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. The word unmovable was in one of the manifestations. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dan and Rebecca. Wonderful sharing. And I trust a beautiful example for all of us that we can have great expectations for our Heavenly Father to work within us, to encourage us, to talk to us, and put us in situations where we can serve and minister and do His work. It's pretty exciting when you think about it. So I want to encourage all of you to, this week, just pray about it. Have a fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And in your prayer time, talk to Him about these things and see what He would have you to do. And then get excited about stepping out and working for Him. For to do this, there's no greater joy than to do His truth and to walk in His word. So I know it'll be exciting times for all of us as we go to the Father and continue to listen to Him and see what He would have us to do. So thank you very much, Dan and Rebecca. And Heavenly Father, thank you that you do work mightily with us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I thank you for all the wonderful saints that will hear this sharing, that they can be inspired to fellowship with you, work with you, and listen to you, and then do the mighty work that you've called them to do. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.